Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians 9:1 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 9, sorry, verse 1 to 12. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. My theme for reflection is freedom that chooses love. Freedom that chooses love. I once heard someone joke that Christian maturity begins the day you realize the church thermostat will never be set exactly to your preference. It's a small lesson in a big truth. Following Christ often means letting go of what we could demand for the sake of what truly builds others up. In 1 Corinthians 9:1 to 12, Paul addresses a community wrestling with rights, status, and spiritual authority. Some in Corinth were even questioning his apostleship. Paul responds not by grasping for recognition, but by reframing the whole conversation. Yes, he insists that gospel workers have legitimate rights, the right to food, to family life, to fair support. He piles argument upon argument. Soldiers are paid, farmers eat from their fields, shepherds share in the milk of their flocks. Even scripture agrees. You shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Deuteronomy 25 verse 4. God cares for animals, yes, but even more for people who labor in his service. Yet here is the surprising turn. Paul, though entitled to this support, chooses not to insist on it. Why? Because love matters more than liberty. The problem in Corinth was not merely financial, it was spiritual. The deeper issue was how easily we center ourselves, defending our rights while forgetting our responsibility to one another. Paul shows another way. He voluntarily limits his freedom so that nothing might hinder the gospel. This is Christian liberty at its most beautiful, freedom that serves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "The church is the church only when it exists for others." Paul embodies that truth. He understands that spiritual gifts create spiritual obligations. If someone sows into our lives with the word of God, it is only fitting that we respond with generosity. How we treat God's servants quietly reveals how we value God's work. But Paul also teaches us something wider. Every believer faces moments when we must choose between asserting our rights and advancing love. The gospel calls us to ask not merely, "What am I entitled to?" but what will help Christ be seen more clearly. For Christian people today, whether pastors, lay leaders, or quiet servants in unseen places, this passage invites us into a shared economy of grace. God provides through his people, and his people grow by learning generosity. When we give freely, we mirror the God who first gave himself for us. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might I be holding tightly to my rights when God is inviting me to choose love instead? Number two, how do my habits of giving reflect what I truly believe about God's work and God's workers? And now our practical exercise for the day. Intentionally encourage or support someone who serves spiritually in your life through a note, a prayer, or a tangible gift, and thank God for them. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good gift. Teach us to hold our freedoms with humility and to use them in love. Help us honor those who labor in your name and shape us into people who give gladly, serve faithfully, and live generously. Where we cling to entitlement, soften our hearts. Where we grow weary, renew our joy. May our lives make space for your gospel to flourish. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.